Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 24, Chapter entitled The Philosophy of Sankhya, Text number 22-27. Ane praliyate marcham.
Ane praliyate marcham.
Anandana suliyate.
Anandana suliyate.
Dana bhumo praliyante. Bhumir gande praliyate. Ane. In food. Praliyate. Becomes merged. Marcham.
Mortal body.
Anam.
Food.
Danasu.
Danasu.
Within the grains.
Liyate.
Becomes merged.
And
dana.
Dana.
The grains.
Bhumo.
In the earth.
Praliyante.
Become merged.
Bhumi.
The earth.
Gande.
With fragrance.
Praliyate.
Becomes merged. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. At the time of annihilation, the mortal body of the living being becomes merged into food. Food merges into the grains, and the grains merge back into the earth. The earth merges into the subtle sensation, fragrance. Fragrance merges into water, and water further merges into its own quality, taste. That taste merges into fire, which merges into form. Form merges into touch, and touch merges into ether. Ether finally merges into the sensation of sound. The senses all merge into their own origins, the presiding demigods, and they, O gentle Uddhava, merge into the controlling mind, which itself merges into false ego in the mode of goodness. Sound becomes one with false ego in the mode of ignorance, and all-powerful false ego, the first of all the physical elements, merges into the total nature. The total material nature, the primary repository of the three basic modes, dissolves into the modes. These modes of nature then merge into the unmanifest form of nature, and the unmanifest form merges into time. Time merges into the Supreme Lord, present in the form of the omniscient Mahapurush, the original activator of all living beings. That origin of all life merges into me, the unborn Supreme Soul, who remains alone, established within himself. It is from him that all creation and annihilation are manifested. Purport. The annihilation of the material world is a reversal of the process of creation, and ultimately everything is merged to rest within the Supreme Lord, who remains full in his absolute position. Omagyan Timanandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhidantikam Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadhi Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this conversation is between Uddhava and Krishna, and this conversation took place just before Krishna left this material world, Krishna was winding up his pastimes in Dwarka, and Uddhava, he understood that there were inauspicious omens throughout Dwarka. So because there were inauspicious omens, he understood this could only be taking place if Krishna was preparing to leave the material world. Otherwise, nothing inauspicious could take place in Dwarka. Not the kind of omens he was seeing. So therefore he went to Krishna and he said that, "I feel that you will soon leave this material world." Uddhava is Krishna's greatest devotee in Dwarka. You read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Narad Muni is looking for the greatest devotee. So he travels throughout the creation, and finally he ends up in Dwarka. And then amongst the Dwarka Basis, they tell him that the greatest of all of us is Uddhava. He is the most devoted. He has the most love for Krishna. So then finally, Narada, he comes to Uddhava and he says, "You must be the greatest devotee." And he says that, "I thought that I was the greatest devotee." Not in a proud way, but just in terms of his love for Krishna. He could not imagine that anyone could love Krishna more than he could love Krishna. Because his love for Krishna was so complete. He could not imagine that anyone could have more love. But then Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, specifically to see the love of the Brijvasis, to deliver a message to the gopis. So he went to Vrindavan, and when he got there, he saw that the Brijvasis, they had not eaten or slept since Krishna had left the world. Sorry, since Krishna had left Vrindavan, which means for years and years. And what he saw that Mother Yashoda, who normally would cook every day, her oven, it was full of cobwebs, because she had not cooked since Krishna had left. And it is said that when there is water on the face, one cannot sleep. That's why sometimes when people are sleeping, then we put water on their face. So, Uddhava saw that all the Brijvasis, because they were crying, because they were feeling separation from Krishna, no one had slept since Krishna had left, because their tears, which were moist on their face, were constantly keeping them awake. So they had not slept for years, feeling separation from Krishna. And he saw that Nanda Maharaj was sitting or standing just like a statue. Nanda Maharaj was just completely, he was just fixed in trance, just meditating upon Krishna. And he was in such a deep absorption, he just looked like a statue, just sitting. But actually he was just meditating on Krishna, feeling separation, thinking, when will he come back to Vrindavan? So Uddhava is the greatest of all the devotees in Dwarka. When he came back to Dwarka, he realized that he had no devotion compared to the Brijvasis. This is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita is a natural commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence or the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the Srimad Bhagavatam's message? It is to establish that the residents of Vrindavan are the greatest devotees of Krishna. And of all the devotees, the gopis are the greatest, and of all the gopis, then Srimati Radharani is the greatest of all the devotees. This is actually the message of the Bhagavatam, the purport of the Bhagavatam. So the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita is a discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and his mother Uttara. Because after Parikshit Maharaj heard from Shukadev Goswami for 7 days, then he went to his mother, and his mother said, What did Shukadev Goswami speak to you? And Parikshit Maharaj, he did not have the time to speak the entire Bhagavatam to his mother, to Uttara. So therefore, he spoke the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, which is like the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he spoke the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, which describes exactly what the Bhagavatam describes, but even more, you could say, like directly, it describes that the Brijbasis are the greatest devotees of all. Within all of creation, they are the superior devotees. They are the topmost devotees. This is explained especially by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary in the 10th canto. If you read the commentary, then you understand their extraordinary nature. So, Uddhava, he went back to Dwarka, and he had this realization. He understood the position of the residents of Vrindavan. So here, Uddhava, he sees that there are inauspicious signs within Dwarka. So then he goes to Krishna and he says, now you will leave. I'm seeing that all of these inauspicious signs means that you must leave soon. And Krishna said, actually it is a fact. So Uddhava said to Krishna, if you are leaving, I also want to leave. I don't want to experience your final pastimes in this material world. I don't want to be left behind. If you are not here, I don't want to stay within the material world. If you go, I want to go before you. I don't want to see the final pastime. But then Krishna said to Uddhava that I have one final service that I want you to do. I have a service that you need to do for me, which is more important. So this is the nature of spiritual life. Because in spiritual life there are two types of service to the spiritual master. There is Vani Seva and there is Vapu Seva. Of the two, Vani Seva is more important. It is more important to serve the instruction of the Guru, than to personally serve the form of the Guru. Because you may be in the Guru's personal association, meaning that you may be physically with the Guru, serving him, but that does not make you closer to the Guru, necessarily. What makes you close to the Guru is serving the instruction of the Guru. Then, when you come into the Vapu, or you come into the personal association of the Guru, then you will have a much deeper... the relationship will be much more profound, or much stronger, or much deeper, when you have served the Vani of the Guru. In other words, if you come when the Guru is present, physically present, and you come and you offer service to the spiritual master, but that service to the spiritual master is being offered, but there is no deep connection or deep attachment to the Guru, it doesn't make you close to the Guru. Just by being physically in the proximity. So when we serve a person, when you serve anyone, any devotee, and especially the Guru, but when you serve anyone, then you become attached to that person. That is the why we serve. That's why within our scriptures we're taught to serve Vaishnavas, to serve Tulsi Devi, to serve the cows, to serve the Brahmanas, to serve our superiors, to serve the deity. Because by this service, then you become attached to that personality. The relationship becomes very strong. So that when you are physically with that person, there is a deep connection. So that is why Vani Seva is considered more important. Because we need to serve the instruction of the person, especially the spiritual master. Not that we do not desire to get the Vapu, or the personal association of the Guru. You should get as much as possible the personal association of the spiritual master, or the personal association of any advanced devotee. As much as possible, you should personally associate. It should not be, you should not think that the Guru has come to visit Melbourne, but Vani Seva is more important, so therefore I should go and serve his instruction, go out and distribute books. No? And then you come and see him on the last day just before he leaves, and you say, Guru Maharaj, you know, I did so much service for you. But then he's thinking, then why didn't you come and associate with me? I came all the way here. I only come here once a year, then where are you? Just like I remember one time, I just joined, I think it was about 1991, and my spiritual master came, and he was giving class here in the temple on the first morning of his visit, and my godbrother, Priyavrata Prabhu, he said to me, he said, we have to get our Guru Maharaj's breakfast ready. So he went into the kitchen to get his breakfast ready, which really was just cutting some fruits and squeezing some orange juice. And then Radha Krishna Prabhu, who was my spiritual master's personal servant, I think at the time, or maybe it was before he became the personal servant, he also came in. So there's three of us in there cutting some fruit and squeezing some oranges like that. which actually only takes a little bit of time, but for some reason it took us the whole Bhagavatam class, because we're doing it so carefully for our spiritual master, doing it so perfectly, making sure every apple piece was exactly the same size, and I don't know what was going on in our heads like that. So anyway, so then he walked into the dining room after class, and we had everything perfectly set up, everything was ready, and everything. So we thought we'd pleased our guru, and we thought he was going to be very happy. So he was very heavy, and he chastised Priyavrata, because Priyavrata was the senior amongst us, so Priyavrata got the chastisement. I was kind of standing against the wall like that, and Swami Krishnamurti was really, and what did he say? He said to Priyavrata, he said, what is the purpose of your existence, Priyavrata? He said, what is the purpose of your existence? He said, why are you here? So why are you living in this world? Your guru has come, and he gives Bhagavatam class, and he said, where were you? He said, well, we're in the kitchen. He said, what were you doing? He said, oh, we're cutting the fruit and squeezing the oranges. And he said, three of you. He said, one of you could have done that in 10 minutes, which is a fact. You know, now that I look back at it, we do many strange things. When we're new devotees, we think we're serving the guru, but actually our service is not so good. Many pastimes I can tell of things I did for my spiritual master, when I look back, it was quite embarrassing. And I remember him saying one time, after we served him breakfast, he's walking upstairs, and I came out and I heard him walk upstairs, and he goes, I can't be served by these guys. He said, they're too mental. All sorts of strange things that we did. Probably the best one that I did was, I don't know if it was the best one or not, but it was a good one. It was probably the best one. The one that Priyavrata did was good as well, but I'll tell mine. So I might have been on that trip, I can't remember. And then Tomorrow Krishnamurti was giving class, and then when he asked for questions, Priyavrata told me, he said, you run into the kitchen and you start making the toast, so that when he comes and sits down, the toast is hot and you can run it into the kitchen and you can put it on his plate. So I ran into the kitchen, did everything I was asked, and then I was making the toast. And then when the toast was hot, I'd run into the from the kitchen to the dining room, which would probably take about 15 seconds or 10 seconds to run, come in and put it hot on his plate, the hot toast. And then he'd pick it up and bite it and say, it's not hot. So I'd run back and do it again and then bring it back, and every time I put it on his plate, say, it's not hot. So the next morning, Priyavrata said, then you do it in the dining room. Don't do it in the kitchen, because it takes too long to get there, and then just do it in the dining room. When it comes out, just put it straight on his plate, so it'll be hot. So then I went in the dining room after class, and then Tomal Krishnamurti walked in, and he looked at me, and I was next to the toaster ready to start. And he said, I don't want you popping in here. So I thought, okay, I won't pop in here. So I picked up the toaster. Picked up the toaster, and I came into the reception, which is just opposite. And the reception used to have carpet. Now it's got the floor, but now it used to have carpet. So I put the toaster down, and then I made all the toast and ran it in like that, and it was all hot, and he was happy because everything was hot. And then I walked in after breakfast to clean up, and I picked up the toaster, and there was a big black mark on the carpet. And the carpet was about that thick, and it was white. White carpet. So I looked at it, and then I thought, well, you know, that's the end of my devotional service for, you know, the rest of my career. I'm finished. So I went and told Annie Rudra Prabhu, one good thing that you should do, and that's one thing I've always done, it's one credit that I've probably got, is that if I ever made a mistake while serving the guru or serving a senior devotee, you immediately let them know. You know, even though you're going to get chastised and even though your life is finished, but still, do it immediately. Don't try to cover up, and don't try to hide your mistakes. I've been there when some devotees, their Guru Maharaj has asked them something, and they said, "Oh, that devotee did it." And when they did it, you know, they made the mistake, but they blame it on someone else. Never do that. Always take the responsibility, and always say, if you do something wrong, then say you did it. like that. So I went down to Rita Prabhu and I said, Prabhu, I've got something to show you. So he came downstairs. And yeah, obviously he wasn't very happy like that. So anyway, that night, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was taking milk and puff rice upstairs in the darshan room. So I was sitting there. So he was sitting there behind the little table, and Nani Rita Prabhu was sitting on the side with him eating, and Prabhupada was serving them, and I was kind of sitting, you know, about 6 feet away, just kind of sitting there and listening to the conversation and getting some association. And then Annie Rudra Prabhu said, something, Keshava made a mistake today. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was kind of like putting the puff rice into his mouth with the milk, and he kind of dropped the spoon. Like that. And I don't know, a lot of you probably didn't meet Tamal Krishna Maharaj like that, but that's... Yeah, I mean, you have to be in his association to understand what I'm talking about. It's kind of like, think of the heaviest person you know in this world, and then multiply that by about 1,000, right? And that gives you an idea of what it was like. So anyway, he dropped the spoon, and he just he looked up at me, and he said, "What mistake?" Like that. So then he looked down, and he kept... drinking. So Aniruddha Prabhu was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and I was saying, like that. And don't sit with your back to the D's, turn on the side like that. So then I was looking at him, trying to tell him like that, and he was looking at me, very bemused that he had me where he wanted me, like that. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was looking down, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was smiling. Because you know there was a leela which was about to unfold, and then I was smiling because I saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj smiling, and then he would look up, he'd look up at me, and then he'd look at me very seriously, and then I'd become very serious, and he'd look down again, then he'd smile, and then I'd smile. Like that. So it was the whole pastime was happening. So then he looked at and he said, "What happened?" And he said, "Oh, Keshava put their toaster on the carpet." And he just looked at me like, you know, what sort of a person would do that? You know, what level of intelligence would you have to put a toaster on a, you know, 1-inch thick white carpet? Like that? Brilliant, you know. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj was eating and he was looking, he kept looking down and he kept looking up at me occasionally. And he said, Danny Rudy said, "What do you think we should do?" He said, "Maybe we have to replace the whole carpet." And then he said, "That carpet must be very expensive." And he said, "It must cost like $4,000 or something, you know, for the whole room." And then he said, "Oh, maybe Keshava should go out and start collecting for it tomorrow." So I was just sitting there and I was like, like that. And then they were having a whole discussion about the carpet. And they were saying, "Maybe we should just go down and just cut out the hole. And then we can replace it." And they said, no, if we do that, then you'll see it, and then it'll look incompatible with the whole room. So he said, "I think the only thing we can do is replace the whole thing." And then near the end of it, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Maybe we should all go down and have a look at it, decide what should be done." That didn't happen. Thank God. So the pastime went on. So at the end, when he finished, he just looked up at me and he just said, "Stupid." And then he walked out, and that was it. That was the end of the pastime. So then anyway, then they put a desk in there. Now, you know where the reception desk is? Like that. That wasn't in there before, so they put the desk in there, and for years the desk was on top of the black spot like that to keep it covered. So, you know, Krishna saved me in that way. So the point we're making is that one should always get the association of the spiritual master, the Bapu. Don't think the Vani is more important. In the sense that the Vani is more important, but it doesn't mean that you neglect the Bapu. Because by getting the Bapu, it will make you more attached to the Vani. You become more attached to the instruction of the Guru by serving the Bapu. So you must always serve the Bapu. Any opportunity you get, then you serve the Bapu. You get as much personal association as you can. That will inspire you in your attachment to the Vani, or to your attachment to the instructions of the spiritual master. Without becoming attached to the instructions of the spiritual master, you don't make advance in the spiritual life. And that's what we see is the difference between the neophyte devotee and the advanced devotee. The neophyte devotee is attached to the Vapu primarily. But when the spiritual master is not physically present, when he goes away, then that devotee finds it difficult to follow the Vani. The advanced devotee, he is attached to the Vapu, or the personal association of the Guru, but when the Guru is not there, right, he doesn't lose any momentum in his devotional service. For him it is the same. Right? He is attached to the Vani, because that is the actual association which we primarily get with the spiritual master. Yeah. Mostly we'll associate with the spiritual master through the Vani. So the devotee needs to become attached to the Vani, or the instructions of the Guru. And you'll see the advanced devotees, I remember Tamal Krishnamurti said one time, you'll know who the advanced devotees are in our society because they'll be doing the same service year after year after year after year. Right? If someone's a very advanced devotee, they'll be fixed in their devotional service. Right? They won't be moving constantly from one service to another. Right? All of us face challenges in our service. All of us find it difficult. There are always challenges. There are always reasons to give up your service. And Maya will test you. There are always obstacles. There are always impediments. It's not easy to stay fixed, right, on the instruction of the Guru. Because the material energy continuously challenges us. And even amongst the devotional community, we may feel there are many challenges and reasons to give up our service. But the advanced devotees, they don't become bewildered or they don't become unenthusiastic about continuing in their service. They stay fixed on their service at all times, regardless of what the external opposition is. Just like one devotee, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, I'm feeling depressed." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I've also experienced difficulty in my devotional service." He said, Prabhupada said, "I was often criticized by my god brothers." And you see, the Prabhupada was continuously criticized by his god brothers. Even though he was doing so much service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they come. So Prabhupada said, "I was depressed, oppressed, repressed," and he gives a whole list. Prabhupada said, "I was depressed, oppressed, repressed," like that, so many things. Aravind, you have to offer your obeisances to the deities. Yeah, but you have to offer, if you walk in the temple, you have to offer your obeisances. You can't just walk in and out. No, you don't have to go over that side, but you just have to, when you come in, you have to offer your obeisances. You can't just walk in and out like that. Okay. So, Prabhupada was making that point, that I'm feeling challenged in my service. Right? You should not think that just because Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, it was an easy task. Okay, Prabhupada was Shakya Vaishavata. Prabhupada was a pure devotee of Krishna who was sent from Goloka Vrindavan to spread the Sankirtan movement. Right? But sometimes we lose sight of how much trial and tribulation Prabhupada went through. Just like you read in the Leelamrita, Prabhupada was in Delhi in the hot sun, a long way back, maybe in the 50s, like that, before he came to America, trying to distribute Back to Godhead magazines by himself. Right? It was only him, one book distributor, right, going out on behalf of the ISKCON movement. Right? Everything that we've done, practically Prabhupada has already done it by himself. So Prabhupada was out there in the hot sun distributing. And one cow attacked Prabhupada, gnawed Prabhupada, hit with her horn and pushed him and pushed Prabhupada down into the ground. And then Prabhupada said that he was laying there and Prabhupada was thinking, why did that happen? But we just think everything was just easy. Yeah. We think when something difficult happens to us, oh, now I have to give up my service. But advanced devotees don't give up their service. They stay fixed. No matter what takes place, they stay fixed in their service. They're attached to the order of their spiritual master. And regardless of what goes on around them, they stay fixed in their service. And that was what Prabhupada did. He always stayed fixed in his service. He became undeterred in his service. And because he was undeterred, then we have this temple sit here right now, and we're all sitting here right now. Imagine if Prabhupada had given up, gotten back on the boat and went back to India and said, oh, it's too difficult. Prabhupada wasn't the first one to come to the West. There were other disciples of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur who came, and they came back and they said, it's not possible. They're meat eaters. Right? They're all attached to, you know, impious activities. Very difficult to spread Krishna consciousness. So imagine Prabhupada had became disheartened and he thought, no, it's too difficult, I'll go back. Right? But Prabhupada didn't. He sticked it out. Right? He used to sit on a park bench in New York with one man he would sometimes meet when he went for walks, and the man would come and sit with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, there are thousands of disciples, there are hundreds of temples, there are millions of books, but it is just time separating us. Prabhupada, he had that kind of vision. Okay. So we should become inspired, and we should also learn not to give up our service when everything becomes difficult. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is activity in the mode of passion. Activity in the mode of passion means when it's too difficult, I give it up. Right? It's too hot today. I can't do my service. Too hot. Too hot. Today is too cold. Too cold. I can't do my service. That's a mode of passion. Whimsical. I give it up. I give it up. No. Just like in Siberia, the devotees go out and do book distribution sometimes. Right? What is the temperature there when they go out and do book distribution?
Minus
40. Minus 40. Can you imagine it? I can't even imagine it. Going out in the street distributing books in minus 40 degrees. Right? So next time you say it's too cold, right, to go out on book distribution, you know, you need to have a reality check, what it's actually like. So devotional service does not become interrupted by the material conditions like that. So Uddhava, he is attached to Krishna's Vapu. Krishna is saying to him, he admits to Uddhava, I'm going to leave this world very soon. And Uddhava says, I can't stay here. I don't want to stay here. If you're not here, I do not want. That's what love means. Love means if the other person is not there, I don't want to be there. I cannot live in separation. Separation is the highest thing, but the devotees don't want to stay in separation. You know, when the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, they don't think, oh, I'll let this just keep going and keep going. No, they think, where is Krishna? I want to be with him now. But Krishna keeps himself away from them purposely to make the fire within their heart burn more powerfully. Yeah. So the sambhog, or the union, becomes more relishable. Vipralamba is the highest. But the devotees don't think, I'll just let the Vipralamba continue. The devotees think, well, I want to be with Krishna now. So Uddhava, he cannot bear to be without Krishna, but Krishna says to him, I want you to stay. I am going to leave soon, but I want you to stay. I want you to go to Bhadrik Ashram, because I did not go there. I've been here on earth for 125 years, but I never went to Bhadrik Ashram, and there are many sages, many great rishis who are my devotees, who did not directly get my association, and I want you to go and I want you to associate with them. So then he speaks at that point in time the Uddhava Gita, which is what we're hearing now in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. This 11th canto of the Bhagavatam is the final instructions which Krishna gave to Uddhava before he left the earth and before Uddhava went to Bhadrik Ashram to give that message, to speak this Uddhava Gita to the sages. So this particular chapter we're in is the philosophy of Sankhya. And this verse that we read, verses 22 to 27, it describes the all the elements merging back into the Mahatattva, back into the Pradhan, back into the primordial mass of matter, like that. So the creation takes place and then it goes back like that. So as we explained before, as explained in this verse, each of the elements merges back The element merges into the sense object merges into the next element, that element merges back into the sense object, and everything retracts back into, finally you come back into the pradhan, or the original energy. So as we described previously, when you leave this material world, you have to go through each of these elements. Very soon, all of us will be going back to Godhead by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has said that if you chant 16 rounds, it means very good rounds. Right? If you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, Prabhupada says at the end of this life, he will take us back to Godhead. Right? So if we follow strictly and if we follow sincerely, then we will go back to the spiritual world soon. Right? If we follow that. You have to be attached. But when you go back to the spiritual world, right, you'll have to pass through all of these elements. Now, as you go through each of the elements, you get to experience all the features of that particular element. So the first one that you go through is the earth. So you travel through the earth element and you smell all of the most attractive fragrances in the creation. And then your mind will be tested at that time. Do you want to go back to the spiritual world, or do you want to stay here and smell this particular fragrance? Then you go through the water element. And when you go through the water element, then you go through all the different tastes. And then you have to think, right, as you go through, do you want to stay, do you want to go to the spiritual world, or do you want to stay here and taste? Then you go through the fire element, and you see so many beautiful things. What is better? Right? And then you go through the air. Right? And then you feel the sensation of touch. Right? Sparsha bhoga. And then you go through ether, and then you hear the most beautiful sounds. So this will test you. What are you actually attached to? Do you want to go to the spiritual world, or do you want to experience something else in the material world? Like that. So one sannyasi, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he was explaining this point to us. And we were in Vrindavan, and he was explaining this around Kartik time, which is coming up soon. And he was saying, because in Kartik he takes a vrat, I think that particular year. Anyway, he simplifies his eating during that period. Right? Some Kartik vrats he's only eating dal and rice, which means khichdi, like very plain khichdi for 1 month. But then he said to us, he said that by the end of the month, his mind starts thinking about pizza. 1 month of very austere, controlling your tongue, controlling your senses. But then he thinks, it's only a few more days, then I can have pizza to break my rut like that. So he said, he was saying to us, in his humility, he was saying, so I don't know what will happen to me, because I'll have to travel back through the different layers of the universe to go back to the spiritual world. And he said, when I get to the water layer, and then all the tastes are offered to you, and then he said, well, maybe I should just stop here and have some pizza before we go back. So it means that you have to become more attached to serving Guru and Krishna than you are to anything in this world. That's what bhakti means. Bhakti means, what is more important to you, pizza or the instruction of the spiritual master? What is more important? Not that devotees don't like pizza. We like pizza which has been offered to Krishna. We like to take pizza. Everyone likes pizza. Practically in ISKCON now, it's all you can eat. Yeah, I went up to Moolambar recently to visit devotees, to stay there, and then I went to different devotees' houses for like prasadam. And practically everyone cooks you pizza. Because they think, oh, they're coming over, so we have to make the best thing, so we'll make pizza. But then, you know, when you eat pizza 6 days in a row, it's not really, you know, you just actually just want to eat some dal and rice and, you know, some simple prasad. But then, practically, that's what everyone needs now. So, whatever you're attached to in this world, and we're all attached to so many things, we have to make our attachment to Krishna, to the order of the spiritual master, and to Krishna himself, more powerful than any of those things we're attached to in this world. In other words, atmendriya means anything which is for our satisfaction. Krishnendriya Priti. Things which are for Krishna's satisfaction should be more powerful, stronger. And ultimately, my spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was saying one time, he was reflecting on why devotees leave ISKCON. And he said one of the principal reasons is because people do not become attached to Krishna himself. That is one reason why devotees leave, because if we do become attached to Krishna, then we won't leave Krishna. How can you leave Krishna if you're attached to him? But if we're not sufficiently attached to him, we may become distracted by Maya. We think, no, this relationship will give me more pleasure, that relationship will give me more pleasure. That means we're not attached to Krishna enough. No? So we have to cultivate attachment to Krishna. You have to get to know him. How do you get to know him? You read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, right? The Nectar of Devotion, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there is unlimited information about Krishna. You'll become attached to him. Just like you read the Nectar of Devotion, describes Krishna has 64 qualities. What are the first qualities that he has? What are any of the qualities that he has?
He has loving devotees.
Yeah, he has loving devotees. That's the final four qualities. Four final qualities separate him from everyone else. Like that, so. Any other qualities that he has? Is that?
He's
a genius. Yeah. What is the definition of a genius? No. The definition of a genius is someone who can simultaneously do many things at once. That's a genius. Right? Genius can sit there and he can go, he can direct so many things accomplished in one activity. Krishna can do one thing, and with that one thing, right, he can simultaneously do so many things. That's the definition of a genius. So Krishna has so many qualities. So you should learn these qualities. I remember years ago in Vrindavan there was one devotee, and on Ekadashi means we should increase our hearing and chanting about Krishna. On the Ekadashi, he would memorize 5 or 10 of those qualities of Krishna. So it means every 6th Ekadashi, after 6 Ekadashis, which means 3 months or so, he'd memorize the whole 64 qualities and then go back and go through them again. Commit them to memory. So you can do things like this. You should develop your attachment to Krishna. You should become attached to him. Not that he's just some distant personality. But we should become the center of our life, the center of our consciousness. Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Ban Bhaktor. Think of me. How can you think of him if you don't get to know him? That's what you need to do. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
You just now mentioned like we should get attached to Krishna and Maya is strong, but like maybe our mind is wanders away very quickly and gets quite thicker. So how to bring back again and again mind would be able to more Krishna?
Just by practice. Krishna says in chapter 6 of Gita, Arjuna asks the same question. Arjuna says, very difficult to fix the mind. And then what does Krishna say? Abhyas and? One is practice, one is detachment. Right. So it requires practice. Right? Bring the mind back again and again. So when do we practice? Primarily we practice while we're chanting our japa. Because when you're chanting your japa early in the morning, so you start chanting around, it's like 5 o'clock. Like that. Prabhupada said, if you want to be brahmachari or brahmacharini your whole life, you should finish your 16 rounds before Mangalati. But most of us probably start chanting after Mangalati, right? So say 5 in the morning, then you start chanting. So then bring your mind under control, right? Your mind continuously go, practice, learn to bring it back, listen to the mantra, right? Meditate on Krishna, like that, bring it back again and again. And practice vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. Become detached from this world. So that also needs to be cultivated, sometimes voluntarily. Just like Prabhupada, one of the brahmacharis, one time said to Prabhupada, How do I deal with sex desire? And Prabhupada said, he said, grit your teeth and bear it. So sometimes you have to say externally, you have to make arrangements so that you will cultivate detachment from this world. So it means everyone is attached to the opposite sex in this world. So therefore, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then you have to make arrangements that you don't associate with the opposite sex unnecessarily too much. Otherwise your mind becomes focused on the opposite sex. Even in marriage, Prabhupada says in one of his purports in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Prabhupada said, even for a married person, the tendency is to become attached to those who are not married to. Right? To become attached to the opposite sex is a very powerful attachment that everyone has in this material world. So then you have to make external arrangements, if necessary, right, to stop yourself from becoming attached to this world. That's called detachment, vairagya, or virakti. Right? So we have to cultivate like that. Detachment and abhyas. Abhyas means by practice, continuous practice like that. So keep practicing, bring your mind onto Krishna, and become detached from the material energy. Ultimately, you can only give up your attachment to the material world, as Krishna says, param jishtuvah nivartate. You can only release yourself from your attachment to this material world by getting something superior. Right? So that's why we said you have to become attached to Krishna. Okay. So read Prabhupada's books. Problem is, most devotees don't read Prabhupada's books enough. Prabhupada's instruction was 1 or 2 hours a day. So you have to make some arrangement that you can read. So you become attached to Krishna. Okay. Is it okay?
Yes.
Any other question or comment?
I just remember when we were talking about money and love, the relationship with you. Guru of your own life.
Prabhu Vishnu Swami.
Prabhu Vishnu Swami. He was once he was telling the story that he was a young Brahmachari, he was living in that temple in London. And once Srila Prabhupada came to visit that place, and Prabhupada Swami, he just joined, and he went out all the time from books, and he was doing service all the time. And all of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada comes, and he asked, "What is Prabhupada?" He asked for him and he was gone. And the next day again, where is he? He was gone. And the next day again he was gone. And Srila Prabhupada was happy that he was happy, pleased with me, that I didn't just wander around there trying to get Prabhupada's personal association, and I was doing my service.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I was watching the following Prabhupada, the videos, and got all the footage of Prabhupada, and then you had the devotees behind speaking over the footage, explaining the past on what was taking place. So then, about 1973, I think it was, Prabhupada was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and in the afternoon he would go and sit on the lawn outside Bhaktivedanta Manor with Shama Sundar Prabhu, and they would just sit there for a couple of hours, and Prabhupada would chant, and he would speak, and like that. He would just, Prabhupada would relax in the afternoon. And then some devotees, they would come and they'd sometimes sit around Prabhupada and get his association. And then one time, two devotees, they came back from book distribution a little bit early. It was about 3:30, 4 in the afternoon. Normally devotees would not come back to 5 or 6 or something. So they came back a little bit early and they saw Prabhupada was sitting out there on the lawn with Shama. So they quietly kind of walked out and they sat a little bit close to Prabhupada, and they're just sitting there kind of listening. And Prabhupada was just chanting and speaking to Shama Sundar. And then after a few minutes, Prabhupada just looked at Shama Sundar. He said, "Haven't they got any service?" He said, "What are they doing?" He said, "Haven't they got any service?" So then they just, they off their obeisances and just went and found something to do. So it means that you have to understand, when we're emphasizing you have to get the vapu of the guru, it means in the correct way. The most important service which the disciple can render to the guru is, in terms of vapu, is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the guru. Right. If all the services that we do for the guru, in terms of serving his personal form, the highest service is to hear the Bhagavatam directly from him. So the point I was making to some degree is that when the guru is present, like he comes to this temple, and he's giving classes in the morning, then you must make it your first priority to be there for his classes. And then, during the day, any personal association you can get means by rendering service to his vapu, then you should take advantage of that so you can get that opportunity to render service. It doesn't mean you just hang around all day doing nothing. Like that. It doesn't mean you just, you know, the guru is here, so you just, you know, hang around all day just waiting because he might need one thing, you know, in the afternoon, and then you waste the whole day. It's better you go and do some practical service. Like that. Maybe that clarifies it a little bit more. I think so. Any other point?